Unsupervised learning. Unsupervised machine learning uses unlabeled data. Data scientists don't know the output of yet. The algorithm must discover patterns on its own, where patterns would otherwise be unknown. Find a structure in a place where the structure is otherwise unobservable. The algorithm finds data segments on its own. The model looks for patterns and structure in an otherwise unlabeled and unrecognizable mass of data. Unsupervised learning allows us to find patterns that would be unobservable without computer scientists. Sometimes massive collections of data have patterns, and it would be impossible to sift through all of it trying to find trends. This is good for examining the purchasing habits of consumers, so that you can group customers into categories based on patterns in their behavior. The model may discover that there are similarities in buying patterns between different subsets of a market, but if you didn't have your model to sift through these massive amounts of complicated data, you will never even realize the nature of these patterns. The beauty of unsupervised learning is the possibility of discovering patterns or characteristics in massive subsets of data that you would not be able to identify without the help of your model. A good example of unsupervised learning is fraud detection. Fraud can be a major problem for financial companies, and with large amounts of daily users, it can be difficult for companies to identify fraud without the help of machine learning tools. Models can learn how to spot fraud as the tactics change with technology. If you want to deal with new, unknown fraud techniques, then you will need to employ a model that can detect fraud under unique circumstances. In the case of detecting fraud, it's better to have more data. Fraud detection services must use a range of machine learning models to be able to combat fraud effectively. Using both supervised and unsupervised models. It's estimated that there will be about $32 billion in fraudulent credit card activity next year, in 2020. Models for fraud detection classify the output, the credit card transactions, as legitimate or fraudulent. They can classify based on a feature, like time of day or location of the purchase. If a merchant usually makes sales around $20 and suddenly has a sale for $8,000 from a strange location, then the model will most likely classify this transaction as fraudulent. The challenge of using machine learning for fraud detection is the fact that most transactions are not fraudulent. If there was even a significant amount of fraudulent transactions among non-fraudulent, then credit cards would not be a viable industry. The percentage of fraudulent card transactions is so small that it can create models that are skewed that way. The $8,000 purchase from a strange location is suspicious, but it is more likely to be the result of a traveling cardholder than fraudulent activity. Unsupervised learning makes it easier to identify suspicious buying patterns like strange shipping locations and random jumps in user reviews. Clustering. Clustering is a subgroup of unsupervised learning. Clustering is the task of grouping similar things together. When we use clustering, we can identify characteristics and sort our data based on these characteristics. If we are using machine learning for marketing, clustering can help us identify similarities in groups of customers, of potential clients. Unsupervised learning can help us sort customers into categories that we might not have created with the help of machine learning. It can also help you sort your data when you are working with a large number of variables. K-means clustering. K-means clustering works similarly to K-nearest neighbors. You pick a number for K to decide how many groups you want to see. You continue to cluster and repeat until clusters are more clearly classified. Your data is grouped around centroids, which are the points on your graph that you have chosen where you want to see your data clustered. You choose them at random, and you have K of them. Once you introduce your data to the model, Data points are placed in categories, indicated by the closest centroid, which is measured by Euclidean distance. Then you take the average value of the data points surrounding each centroid. Keep repeating this process until your results stay the same, and you have consistent clusters. Each data point is only assigned to one cluster. You repeat this process by finding the average values for X and Y within each cluster. This will help you extrapolate the average value of the data points in each cluster. K-means clustering can help you identify previously unknown or overlooked patterns in the data. Choose the value for K that is optimal for the number of categories you want to create. Ideally, you should have more than 3. However, the advantage associated with adding more clusters diminishes the higher the number of clusters you have. The higher the value for K that you choose, the smaller and more specific the clusters are. You wouldn't want to use a value for K that is the same as the number of data points, because each data point would end up in its own cluster. You will have to know your dataset well and use your intuition to guess how many clusters are appropriate and what sort of differences that will be present. However, our intuition and knowledge of the data are less helpful once we have more than just a few potential groups. Dimensionality reduction. When you are using dimensionality reduction, you are trimming down data to remove unwanted features. Simply put, you're scaling down the number of variables in a dataset. When we have a lot of variables in our model, then we run the risk of having dimensionality problems. Dimensionality problems are problems that are unique to models with large datasets and can affect prediction accuracy. When we have many variables, we need larger populations and sample populations in order to create our model. With that many variables, it's hard to have enough data to have many possible combinations to create a well-fitting model. If we use too many variables, then we can also encounter overfitting. Overfitting is the main problem which would cause a data scientist to consider dimensionality reduction. We must choose data that we don't need or that is irrelevant. If we have a model predicting someone's income, do we need a variable that tells us what their favorite color is? Probably not. We can drop it out of our dataset. Usually, it's not that easy to tell when a variable should be dropped. There are some tools we can use to determine which variables aren't as important. Principal component analysis is a method of dimensionality reduction. We take the old set of variables and convert them into a newer set somehow. The new sets we've created are called principal components. There is a trade-off between reducing the number of variables while maintaining the accuracy of your model. We can also standardize the values of our variables. Make sure they are all valued in the same relative scale so that you don't inflate the importance of a variable. For example, if we have variables measured as a probability between 0 and 1 versus variables that are measured by whole numbers above 100. Linear discriminant is another method of dimensionality reduction where we combine features or variables rather than get rid of them altogether. Kernel principal component is the third method for dimensionality reduction. Here, variables are placed in a new set. This model will be non-linear, and it will give us even better insight into the true parameters than original data.